Another chapter closes today in the long-running saga over snowmobiles in Yellowstone and Grand Teton National Parks. Today, the Park Service releases its plan to reverse a Clinton administration ban on snowmobiles in the parks. The decision is at odds with the Park Service's own findings that phasing out the machines is the best way to protect air quality, wildlife, and human health and safety. NPR's Elizabeth Arnold reports on the process that led one administration to ban snowmobiles altogether and another to let them back in.
The Park Service has been wrestling with winter access for more than a decade. The struggle began in 1997 when an environmental group, the Fund for Animals, sued over snowmobile use. That triggered an environmental impact statement and a public comment process, and in November 2000, a decision was made to ban snowmobiles. Within weeks, another lawsuit was filed, this time by the International Snowmobile Manufacturers Association, which said cleaner, quieter machines weren't considered. So the Bush administration went through the whole process again, with a decidedly different outcome released today. John Sacklin is the chief of planning for Yellowstone National Park.
Our proposal in our final supplemental environmental impact statement calls for allowing snowmobiles to continue to come into Yellowstone.
But Sacklin's quick to point out there will be monitoring, the machines must be state-of-the-art, and there will be guides. Still, there's little in the $2.4 million study that justifies the reversal, except for the fact that one group of users, the snowmobilers, wanted it. In fact, a draft of the final report finds that phasing out snowmobiles is, quote, the environmentally preferred alternative that preserves the parks in the best possible condition, while allowing for current generations to experience and enjoy the parks. The internal report also says a ban results in the lowest levels of impacts to air and water quality, natural soundscapes, and wildlife. Sacklin, who's been chief of planning for the last 11 years, explains.
The agency-preferred alternative does not necessarily have to be the environmentally-preferred alternative.
In short, despite the findings, the administration can choose to do whatever it wants, provided it holds up in court. All that the National Environmental Policy Act, NEPA, requires is a study of potential impacts, not necessarily an outcome. Some call it a look-before-you-leap act. You're not supposed to make up your mind before reviewing the data. Mike Finley was the superintendent of Yellowstone during the Clinton administration.
NEPA is really a process law. For example, when I was a federal official, NEPA required me to exhaust all sources of information, listen to all points of view, and hopefully that would lead me as a deciding official to make the best informed decision within the framework of existing laws. So, you know, you can still do all your NEPA properly and make a lousy or unlawful decision.
That's what Finley, who's now president of the Turner Foundation, says happened in this case.
So, you know, the science hasn't changed. Their draft document that was released in November finds the same conclusions that we found when we did the first EIS. All they did is waste a lot of time and money, and they're going to reinterpret those results. In other words, they're going to say, well, snowmobiles are cleaner.
Was middle ground considered? Finley says no. There was no consideration of an option to simply improve other ways into the parks, like the existing antiquated snow coaches. But he's well aware of the leeway the process allows. When he was superintendent, the Park Service came up with a preferred alternative that allowed some snowmobile use in Yellowstone, what he called a compromise. But public comment weighed heavily against it. That's when the Clinton administration went back to the drawing board and decided on a gradual ban instead. Don Barry was Assistant Secretary of Interior at the time. He's now Vice President and General Counsel for the Wilderness Society. He says it's not unusual for one administration to change the policies of another, but says in this case, the supplemental EIS makes the final decision harder to justify.
If nothing else, the laws are designed to expose some of the flaws in their thinking. And again, the Park Service somewhat courageously at least laid out some of the downsides to their choice, which was more pollution, more noise, more wildlife disruption.
Barry says park superintendents and career employees are rarely given the latitude by political appointees to do what they think is best for the national parks. Asked whether that was the case in this instance and whether another administration could come in and reverse the snowmobile decision yet again, Yellowstone's chief planner, Jim Sacklin, chose his words carefully.
Ultimately, we do work for the president of the United States. And as administrations change and as perspectives change, there can be changes in the way we manage and operate the parks.
Last year, the Park Service received a record 350,000 comments on the draft supplemental EIS, mostly form letters, 4-1 in favor of a ban. The Bush administration has the discretion over whether to solicit public comment on this final EIS. It's opted against it. A record of decision will be signed next month. Environmentalists will likely go to court using the NEPA documents to make their case. Elizabeth Arnold, NPR News.